This is the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, it's me, the Celebrity Medium, back with another episode of the Celebrity Afterlife Report. The only show on the internet, or as far as I know, anywhere. The only show, period. That gives you the up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite deceased celebrities. Oh, we have stuff to tell you this week. We have one more show to do before we take a break for the end of the year holidays. Let's start messing around. Let's stop messing around. Let's get right to the stuff, shall we? Okay, the big meeting we've been waiting for has happened. I've been telling you for months now that actor Don Knotts from the old Andy Griffith show, he played Deputy Barney Fife, he has been working out like a madman in the afterlife, and Don was always very skinny, and now he's buff. He's still not a tall guy, not a big guy, but he's buff, I'm told. He's got muscles on muscles. He's got muscles where people don't even have places. That's how buff he is. So Don Knotts has been wanting to revive the Andy Griffith show for some time now, and when Andy Griffith arrived in the afterlife, Don had a meeting with him, and according to sources, Andy was kind of startled by how Don looks these days, and apparently privately thought there was no way they could do the old show over because he doesn't look anything like he did when he was playing Barney Fife. And he kind of blew Don off politely, said, yeah, let me think about that, you know. But now Gomer Pyle, Jim Nabors, is in the afterlife too. And Don sent a representative to talk to Jim. Jim did not know what Don looked like these days. So he said, I'd absolutely love to play Gomer Pyle again. So at least verbally, he's in. Okay, now here's the deal. They're going to shoot the show, if they are going to shoot the show, on the grounds of Disney's American Experience, which was formerly the front half of Mediopolis, a joint deal between Steve Jobs and Walt Disney. They had a little falling out. Jobs took over the back end of it, which is now sort of the R&D, you know, high-tech hub for the next world. And Disney runs the front end, which kind of looks, I'm told, like the Main Street USA and Disneyland and Disney Worlds, that kind of thing. Didn't really work out as the tourist attraction Disney was hoping for, so now he's touting it as a set for movies and television shows. Don Knotts thinks it's perfect to be Mayberry for the new show. All right. So Don Knotts has now met Jim Nabors. Apparently Nabors is like, you know, despite the way Don looks now, he's like, he's still on board with playing Gomer Pyle in the new show. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Don is in, Jim Nabors is in, and Andy Griffith was approached by somebody again representing Don Knotts, and Andy has said, all right, I'll do the show as long as I can tape all the segments that I'm in for one season in a one shot. I don't have to come in like every week. You have my scenes ready to go for the whole season, and I can just bang them out one after another. Which, if you remember the old My Three Sons show, if you're old enough to remember that from the 60s, Fred McMurray was the star of that. That's kind of the way he did his shows. He would do all his scenes for a month's worth of shows in like a day or two, and then he would go goof off for the next 3 weeks. Now, why Andy Griffith is asking for that is not yet known, and we may never know, but that's what he said. I'll do it if and only if I can do all my segments in one straight session. Okay. Charles Manson, as you probably know, arrived in the afterlife a few weeks back. He immediately told David Cassidy, who I think got there, David Cassidy got there about 10 days after Manson. Manson said, I'd like to go on the road with you performing. You could be my opening act. Gee, no surprise, David said, no. you know, he didn't tell him right to his face, but did tell somebody in the press, like, I'm not going to be doing that. But Charlie did an interview the other day with a leading Next World newspaper, which she, as you would expect, rambled about a large variety of topics, including, of course, how he was completely innocent of the charges which put him in jail for the past 40-plus years. But in the midst of the gibberish, there was a nugget of gold. He said he never invited David Cassidy to play with him, which is a flat-out lie. There were several witnesses to it. And then he went on to say he was already lining up performance venues for what he's calling his Manson family reunion tour. And we do know that he's been in touch with at least one or two of the women who are in the so-called Manson family. Now, whether he's actually lined up performance venues or it's just one of his screwball fantasies, we don't know, because who the hell ever knows what's going on with Charles Manson. Anybody in the afterlife who is hoping for a reunion between Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, I'm sorry to say, is going to be disappointed. Now, several weeks back, when Jerry Lewis arrived in the Next World, the two of them met and they did an interview with a reporter. And they looked really super happy to be together again, and everything was going really well, and they were talking about, you know, going on the road doing their old act, because, as you'll recall, everyone in the Next World looks as they did at their adult best, and they were at their adult best in the late 50s, 60s when they were working together. So they were, you know, it looked like it was ready to go. Well, the reporter asked Jerry Lewis about this legendarily bad movie, The Day the Clown Cried, that he made, that's never actually been released to the public. Lewis went nutso on the writer over the question. I mean, just started berating him. What are you asking me about that for? You know that I've kept that movie out of public circulation. Why would you do that? And he really was kind of rude, and that visibly, apparently, embarrassed Dean Martin. So we have finally gotten official word that the two will not be working together, at least in the foreseeable future, and that's obviously coming from Dean Martin. There was a press release that was very, very circumspect. But word from Martin's camp is that he was absolutely disgusted by Jerry's behavior at the interview. And he has told friends he will never work with Jerry Lewis again. Okay, now we've been telling you for weeks that Stanley Kubrick's movie that he shot in the Environment. I've been able to pronounce that for years now. Why am I suddenly tripping over it? Environment. Long story. Go back in the archives. You'll find out how Steve Jobs built this indoor water attraction because it does not rain in the Next World. And a whole lot of things happened. And eventually artists Jean-Michel Basquiat and Salvador Dali took it over. They built this crazy translucent sphinx out of some kind of wiggly jello-like material that was going to figure into a movie they were making, but they didn't know what the hell they were doing when it came to movie making. So famed and acclaimed director, Stanley Kubrick came in, and he said, let me take it over. I want complete creative control. I'll get it done. They signed that over to him, but then because he had creative control, he forced them out. He said, I'm going to make my own damn movie. So the movie is called Obsessive Behavior. It has come out now. Some people are saying it's absolutely brilliant, including Roger Ebert. You remember from Siskel and Ebert at the movies? Roger Ebert says it's the best thing Kubrick has ever done. Other people say it's an inscrutable mess. But the movie is out right now, and because it's got some acclaim, the partnership between Basquiat and Dali is strained. Basquiat is still mad, understandably, at Kubrick over the takeover of the facility and the movie, but Dali, ever the publicity hog, is going around telling anybody who will listen that he was the inspiration for the entire thing, that Kubrick could not have made the movie without knowing Dali. Dali is the one behind this movie. It should be called Dali's Obsessive Behavior. You know, all this kind of crap. So, Basquiat and Dali are on the outs. Now, they both still co-own and operate Environment, but that could be changing. We don't know, because the boys are not getting along. And that is what I have for you today, my friends. I will be back next week, and then we'll take a two-week break for the holidays. But next week, there will be another edition of the Celebrity Afterlife Report with even more up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite deceased celebs, If someone should ask, where can I find out what celebrities are doing in the afterlife? You can point them towards, because that question comes up a lot. You can point them towards iTunes. You can direct them towards the Google Play Store. You can tell them they can find it on YouTube. Or if they happen to live in Los Angeles, they can hear it on K-Chung Radio AM 1630 Mondays at 1 p.m. on a show called Inspirato Projecto Radio. That's where you can find it. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you back here next week. I am the Celebrity Medium. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast. To ask a question about your favorite deceased celebrity, call 818-3-MY-DREAM. 818-3-MY-DREAM. 818-369-3732.